This hour is brought to you by NJ Diet.
Oh, yeah,
NJ.
Pass that to me because I'm going to be needing this.
Oh, yeah.
This hour is brought to you by NJ Diet. NJ Diet contractually guarantees that you'll lose 20 to 40 pounds in only 40 days. Go to njdiet.com. Call 855-5-NJ-DIET.
Keep that.
Yeah, I need it.
Live from the Old National Bank State Street Studio.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
WMVP, WSHE HD2, Chicago.
Chicago's home for sports.
A Good Karma Brands radio station.
Welcome back to the Waddle and Sylvie live broadcast on ESPN Chicago.
The Miller Lite is flowing at Cousins in Tinley Park.
Yes, it is indeed Miller time.
On Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
I would describe this Football Friday as festive.
Yes.
Very festive place here at Cousins.
I'd call it delicious.
Waddle is going to... I've not seen Waddle go to town on a pizza like this in all my years. Waddle looked at me in the break and he said, "This is really good."
Yeah.
I'm glad that you're enjoying the pizza.
I am.
And the Miller Lite.
You should enjoy it yourself, fatty. I'm not saying it because you said it, not me.
Well, yeah, I'm surrounded by two guys, types of guys that I dislike a lot. Like this Tyler over here, Tyler Aki, our producer, who, like, he could eat a double cheeseburger just now, add some pizza, dip in some fries and some coleslaw. He won't gain a pound.
Well, he'll eat dinner tonight.
Yeah,
too.
Right. You'll eat dinner in a couple hours.
Mm-hmm. He's nine. I mean, like,
I know, right?
You're
and you're the same way. I mean, you've got a wine belly these days.
I haven't had any wine in a while.
But it's a beer belly then. I mean, you've had a lot of beer.
You know what I did? I stole the wine we gave to Cap for a gift 3 years ago from his office.
That. Don't say that. Don't tell.
Well, I should be the one offended, or we should both be offended.
Oh, okay.
We bought him a nice bottle of wine for Christmas. It's been in his office for 3 years, so I took it back.
It's a good spin zone right there. Big Cat would be proud of you.
Yeah.
We did.
I'm going to drink it tonight.
We did, and I got nervous today because after we graded the fight between Cap and Lee Allen.
Yeah.
The Bears fight, my phone rang right when I was in getting into the shower.
And it said Cap?
So, well, I wasn't getting it no matter what.
Did he want to join you?
I didn't answer it. So when the phone's ringing, you're about to get in the shower, no matter who.
Hey, kid, any chance I'm dirty? Any chance I could join you in the shower?
And then we had a work conference call after that.
Yeah.
So then I'm like, what? But I got to tell you, when I saw that it was him, I'm like, what the hell does he want? He's going to be bitching and moaning to me that we were ripping him last night over the Lee Allen call. And he actually played it well, where he was complimenting us on the Durkin interview. And then he said that he listened to the entire scoring of the boxing match, and he loved it. So I was very happy that he was taking the high road, took it all with a
he's a new guy.
Salt.
He's
yes.
down what, like 29.35 pounds?
Yes. Soda. This is a good advertisement. Lose the weight, gain a little personality.
Ho! And perspective.
Yes. Sense of humor.
Wow.
Lose the weight.
You were
gain a sense of humor.
You were expecting him to
I thought I was going to get one of these. You know, the last time I was sitting in my car in my garage.
Yeah.
The garage was open, so don't make any jokes about that.
Was it on? The car wasn't on, was it?
I just pulled in, and he was just yelling at me. Yelling. I'm like, Cap, you got to take it easy here. But he liked it.
Sounds
so,
like you're suggesting that Cap may have had a lobotomy, Sylvie.
Not saying that. Just maybe the extra
weight. Maybe the weight loss has changed his perspective.
Not so angry.
Maybe the weight, like he lost some facial weight, and it lessened the pressure on some nerves in there or something.
So now that he's cool with that, we were in his office yesterday. He keeps the door unlocked, and Waddle pointed out that he's got a whole stash of wine and we discovered that it's the wine that we gifted him like 3 years ago.
We gave the same wine, and you were the one that went and got it from your guy.
Right, at Grand and Western.
Right, so we that was when we
this
used to
give out. This is pre-pandemic.
Correct.
This is probably holidays 2019.
Well, this was back when we used to exchange
gifts. 18.
Like, over the last several years, we really haven't done it because it was just, it was one of your typical, I'll give you booze, you give me booze. Hey, why don't we just stop and we'll buy ourselves our own booze?
Right.
That's, you know, so it was a bottle, I think it's Freemark Abbey, a really nice Cabernet that we got for all of the different
$65
Cabernet. Something like that.
Yeah.
It was still in his office.
So Waddle took it.
I took it.
He took it back.
Took it back.
Because Waddle, you knew that you were running low on a nice bottle of wine at home, and you're like, you know what, I'm drinking tonight. I need to find some wine.
Right.
And I'm going to go.
So I was either going to have to go to the store and buy some, or I'd go into Cap's office and take the one we gave him back.
So while Waddle was at it, I took a bottle of Pinot Noir as well.
I don't know that we ever gave that to him as a gift. I think that was just a bottle of Pinot Noir that was in his. So you're more of a thief. I'm just
thanks a lot.
I'm just kind of taking back what's, you know, like he didn't appreciate the gift. So I'd be willing to re.
In your guys' defense, though, there was a moment, I want to say a couple months ago, where he was fire selling stuff out of his office.
Right.
Fire selling booze out of his office.
So we still think it's a fire sale.
Yeah.
I will tell you this about Cap. For all the ball busting I do on him and about how sometimes he can't
very
take
generous
a joke.
Guy.
Right. If you said to him, hey, Cap, I know you got some extra wine in your office. Can I take a bottle? He'd be the first guy who'd say, take
two. You know what he'd say?
He'd say, take two.
He'd say, take that.
Take that. Take that bottle of wine and that bottle of wine. So, like, he'd be generous about that.
Of course.
All right.
Then he'd forget about it the following day and ask you why you took his wine.
Probably he'd flip. So we are at Cousins. We're having a great time. Waddle's loving the pizza. I love it, too.
Why wouldn't?
Miller Lite. We got a festive crowd. It looks like a lot of Bears fans in the house. We did get the Walter Payton jersey here. We got a Khalil Mack jersey, Mitch Trubisky jersey, a lot of Sox gear, too. Great conversations with all the fans here in attendance.
At this point, the Sox gear is just because everything else you own is dirty, right? Because, like, honestly, you got to be pissed off when you put that shirt on, don't you? Like, just.
Yeah, you go down. That's right. You don't abandon ship now. You've been here your whole life.
Yeah, I bet you're sitting on the couch at home swearing at everybody in a White Sox uniform.
See, but that's different. Quitting on the team and being pissed off at your team are two different
things. I'm not saying you're quitting on your team, but if you're disappointed in your team, I don't think it's a rude thing to do is stop repping them by wearing their gear that you spent your hard-earned money on.
Yeah. Yeah,
you can still support them, but you're just not going to wear their stuff.
More you say that.
Where's your Cubs gear?
I wear my Cubs stuff.
I don't see it.
I didn't want to. I truthfully was going to wear my Cubs hat today, but the way people work, they would have thought I'm trolling the White Sox after Adam Engel turned into Brant Brown.
You're thinking
overthinking.
You're overthinking that.
Yeah.
Yeah, just rep your team.
Yeah. So if you want to weigh in on the White Sox, we've taken a lot of angry Sox calls. Also, we don't understand. So Robert's out. Moncada's out. Tim Anderson still remains out. So they needed a leadoff hitter today. A.J. Pollock is back in the lineup. He's batted .319 with the most at-bats at the leadoff spot other than Tim Anderson.
Yes.
And it's where he's done his best work in the leadoff spot, and the White Sox are batting him fifth tonight with Romy batting first.
I have a question. A.J. Pollock is not a young player. He's an accomplished veteran.
Right.
Right? Not saying he's a multi-time all-star, but he's an accomplished player in Major League Baseball. Does A.J. Pollock go into Tony's office and say, Skip, like, why?
Why would you want
to
have
Why are you batting an inexperienced rookie who's in over his head?
Why is Romy getting more at-bats than Jose Abreu, A.J. Pollock?
Right.
Well, how about this? Andrew Vaughn did a leadoff home run yesterday.
Right, right.
First pitch of the game.
Yeah. It doesn't make any – like, it's just – you want that guy to come up quicker. You want, and then he's thrived in the lead. It's just,
and you're still going to wear that Sox shirt, right? After all this, I got to respect it. Delusional. I hope you're drinking.
Connor will see. Let's see what Connor has to say at 4:30. He's going to join us then. He's doing play-by-play, by the way, this weekend too on your home for the White Sox. So more White Sox conversation. 332-3776. The Bears play tomorrow. We'll go over the things that we want to see. We did a we had a great conversation with Mark Potash.
Yeah.
I want to, because we only touched it in crosstalk, and we only touched it in Waddle's world. What do you think about the Aaron Donald swing? He was swinging. If you missed it, the video's been all over. It happened around this time yesterday, wasn't it? Around
yes. Joint practices with the Cincinnati Bengals, which is kind of odd to begin with because they were the two teams that faced off in the Super Bowl.
Right. Like, isn't it? Like, you should just face a team that's random to you. Like, yeah. Hey, not the team that just fought for the championship.
Yeah, there may be
I thought it was weird.
Tensions may be high. Look, I am, you know me, I've said this 1,000 times. I'm a huge advocate for teams practicing against one another because I think you can get so much done and you can come to so many more conclusions by watching what goes on in these dual practices versus a preseason game. The preseason game is just kind of the cherry on top after 2 days of working with the team that you're ultimately going to play. I think you can learn a lot about your team. They do get to be heated because players will do stuff in those practices that they would never think of doing in a game.
Like what?
You'll take a cheap shot at a player.
Well, we've seen the helmet thing from Myles Garrett, who's in town.
We have, but like you'll see that more frequently in a practice between two teams than you will in a regular season game. But you will see players do stuff in games or in practice because there's no retribution. There's no penalty to be faced. You're not going to be fined by the league if you put an illegal block on one of the Colts if you're one of the Falcons.
You're not hurting your team within
no.
a, like you're going to
exactly.
point this out with a penalty. You're
correct.
Not losing 15 yards
or money.
In a vital spot.
Or money.
Right.
So this is what Cam Hayward was the player you were thinking of earlier, Waddle, who spoke out about this. He says, in theory, it sounds cool to see your team compete in a practice setting, but it's basically a 2.5-hour wrestling match with no rules or technique, which puts everyone on edge. Guys do things they would never do in a game that could lead to injury, and players will fight for their team.
Yeah, and I think that there is a lot of truth to that. But I do believe if you can show some, you know, some sportsmanship and some control and handle yourself maturely, there's a lot that you can accomplish in those practices. I think they have deteriorated to the point now where you see things like even the most accomplished defensive player in the league and somebody that has – I've never heard a bad word about Aaron Donald off the field as well. So he's a guy of impeccable character and not just talent. Is out there swinging one of the Bengals' helmets at some of the Bengals' players.
About two. Wasn't he swinging two at the time?
So, you know, a little bit surprised to see somebody like Aaron Donald lose his composure to that degree. I have no problem. And if people don't know, because it's happening in practice, the league itself has no jurisdiction over either of these teams.
Right.
So the league can't come in and suspend a player or fine a player because this is not in a game environment. This is left up to the teams themselves to police themselves.
Should the league have control? It is two teams, while not a game, they are competing.
I will say this, if the league did have control, you would see less of this nonsense. Because as I said earlier with the guys, there's no chance the Los Angeles Rams are going to suspend Aaron Donald. None.
Right.
Because he's the best defensive player in football, and you don't want him to miss a game.
And when it's just your team, you're handling things internally.
Correct.
But now you're involving an opponent.
So knowing that the team isn't going to suspend Aaron Donald, there's no deterrent to him doing what he did. If he is, in fact, if the league is able to assess the situation and deliver a punishment, then they could actually suspend Aaron Donald, which may serve as a deterrent for others to act that way. So, kind of to circle back, you know, as it was described, that it's just become the wild, wild west in these practices. If, in fact, the league actually had jurisdiction over what is going on, you may see people behave less poorly, which would be a benefit, would be a good thing. So, I think it's actually a pretty good idea. If something like this happens, the league does have the authority to issue punishment. And I think if that was the case, then I think you would have the teams making sure that they were telling their players, listen, no nonsense, because we don't want to lose you to the you know, to a two-game suspension to start the season. That's not even part of the equation with what's going on in Cincinnati. But if I'm the Rams, obviously I'm not suspending him because it gives us a competitive disadvantage. I am fining him. I am, because I need my guy who's the best player on my team and maybe the best defensive player in all of football. I need him to be a leader, and I can't have that happening. And that behavior is not acceptable.
Is there a limit on what they could fine him?
I'm sure there is, but whatever the limit is I would fine him. If I was the Rams, I would fine him. Not suspending him, but I would fine him. But I do believe that if the league did have authority over these practices with regard to penalties and punishments, I think you may be able to get some of this stuff legislated out of the equation.
Yurko was hot about, you know how Yurko can be. Especially with this, when people are over the top emotional. This guy needs to be suspended. What this guy did is no different than what Myles Garrett did in a game. It just didn't happen in a game. So Yurko then always kind of is like, you know, the outrage, and he go usually against it. He's not always a contrarian. I think he hates the outrage in today's day and age that's out there. But like Harmon was saying, he was doing one of the most dangerous acts you could do on a football field.
You could actually, and I'm not trying to be hyperbolic here, you could kill somebody. If Aaron Donald takes a helmet and swings it as hard as he can and hits the player who lost his helmet in the scuffle directly in the head with the helmet, at the very least, you could cause some serious damage, if not actually kill that person. So it's a very serious act. And I don't think that you just dismiss it because the helmet didn't make contact with the player. Just because somebody didn't get seriously hurt doesn't mean you should just ignore the actions. And that's why I think that the Rams would be wise to fine him. And I don't know how the league will. Again, I think that there are a lot of benefits that come from these practices against other teams. But if it's deteriorated to the point where it's just a melee and a wrestling match, maybe the league does need to step in and say, look, we think this is good. The teams think this is good. The coaches like it. But to prevent some of this crap from happening, we're going to have the authority to actually penalize some of you if you start to act like fools. I think it's a really interesting situation. So, I'm like, listen, there's no chance the Rams are going to suspend him. None. Zero. Why would you suspend your best player?
No, the Rams aren't. I know that. Yeah. And I'm not asking the Rams to suspend him. My biggest question is, in these competitions or whatever it is, you're competing, whether they're drills or whatever. It's not a game. It's the old Allen Iverson. Yeah, it's practice. We're talking about practice. You're still competing against an opponent.
Yeah.
And if you took a helmet in a game and did that, what Myles Garrett get suspended for? Six games?
Eight games? I don't remember how long
it was. It was a lot, wasn't it? And he hit Mason penalty. Rudolph,
wasn't
I want to say
it
that.
Indefinite at the start?
I think so. Yeah. And then he had to circle back like at the start of the next year and petition the league. It was a serious suspension. If Aaron Donald would do that off the field in this bar, would walk in and take a helmet and hit someone in the head, he'd be suspended.
Yes.
But because it's in a practice against an opponent, they can't do anything. That's all I'm asking is, what's the difference?
Garrett ended up being a six-game suspension, guys.
Yeah.
Six games.
But it did carry over into the next season, remember?
Yes. So what's the difference other than I know the difference? I know a game and a practice is different. It's still against an opponent. And it's still a pretty outrageous act.
Yeah, I mean, look, I can't give you a great argument for the difference. You are putting somebody in harm's way.
This just ends up being where it's the CBA, right? Where this is a situation where the NFL has no real authority. They need to...
I got to be honest, too. The more you talk about it and the more these things have kind of deteriorated. And look, when we used to do this back in the day, I think we practiced against... I know we practiced against the Saints. My memory is failing me whether or not we did it against somebody else, but I know we did it at least once. I thought it was tremendously beneficial, and I think you can get a lot out of it. But if it's just devolved into some sort of wrestling match for 2 days, maybe the best answer is for the league to be able to actually penalize you if you do something.
That's
like
all
that.
I'm asking. And I'm not calling for blood against Aaron Donald. I know I understand the rules. It just seems like you can't do that in a lot of situations. But because this happened in a dual practice, you can get off scot-free. I mean,
can I ask?
Well, to me, the negative part of this would be is that ultimately, when this type of behavior happens consistently, they're just going to get rid of these. They're going to get rid of these.
Which would suck.
Which I think is a bad thing because, again, I think you learn more about your team when you get a chance to practice against others for a couple of days leading up to the preseason game.
Here's the other thing. Do you think had Aaron Donald actually landed the helmet to another player's face?
The response would be different.
It would be, but of course. Think about it. Really, should it be?
Right.
Because the truth is, the intent seemed it was there when he switched
well, Carmen,
two helmets.
I thought Carmen made a really good analogy in response to what Yerk was saying. He said, look, just because you drink and drive and you're above the limit, just because you don't create an accident, someone doesn't get hurt, doesn't mean that you don't face a penalty if, in fact, you get stopped.
Right. Like in an NBA game, if you simply throw a punch, it's an automatic ejection and one-game suspension.
Right.
It doesn't matter if you land the punch.
Correct.
The swinging motion is what dictates the penalty. So, to me, I've always thought, covering the game, that there are, like, a few no-nos. One is you never, ever, like, one of the most disrespectful things you can ever do to an opponent, to a person, a human, is spit in their face, right? Romanowski did that
did
in the
game. J.J.
There's been a couple of people. Like, to spit on someone is completely degrading, and to swing the helmet. I get that fights are going to happen. Scraps are going to happen. There's going to be pulling of the face masks.
Yeah.
There's going to be wrestling. There's going to be punching. But isn't it a no-no? Isn't it like taboo?
No, it is.
To when you after you rip the helmet off to start using it as a weapon.
No, it's unacceptable. It's unacceptable behavior. Regardless of whether or not you make contact with the person and commit, you know, or that person then ultimately has a serious injury or not, you can't do it. You shouldn't be able to do it. Carmen's right. I thought it was a good analogy. It's like drinking and driving. Just because you didn't, you know, what your actions didn't end up in an accident doesn't mean that you should be overlooked for making the judgment error that you made.
Right. But it does go up if you do cause damage.
Correct.
Yes.
Correct.
312-332-3776. Want to get to some Bears, too? Connor McKnight is going to come up next. Why isn't A.J. Pollock leading off? And does he believe...
Tony forgot he was on the team.
No, he's batting fifth. He put him in the lineup.
He remembered later. After
so he was ready. He's like, oh, damn.
Yeah.
I forgot Pollock.
Right.
And he's like, well, I only got an open space here at five.
No, yes, it was, he's no racer on his pencil.
Yeah, Jerry Nairn had already put in calligraphy that Romy was at the top of the lineup, so you couldn't go back and change it.
You can't go back on that. You know, the effort goes into actually writing those names in that manner.
Yep. So we got a lot to discuss. Connor McKnight joining us next. We are live at Tinley Park at Cousins. It's all brought to you by Miller Lite as you've made it to your weekend.
College football is back. It's time to enjoy the tradition, the fun, and the great offers from DraftKings Sportsbook. To celebrate the best time of the year, new customers can bet just $5 on any team and get $200 in free bets instantly, win or lose. You can also place a same-game parlay for a shot at an even bigger payout. Just combine multiple bets into one, like which team will win, with which team will score first. Best of all, you can deposit, withdraw your cash whenever you want. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app, use code WMVP, bet just $5 on college football, and get $200 in free bets instantly. That's code WMVP only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Indiana only. One per new customer, minimum $5 deposit and wager. $200 issued as eight $25 free bets. Restrictions apply. See terms at DraftKings.com/sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-9-WITH-IT.
It's a Waddle and Sylvie live broadcast.
It's Miller time in Tinley Park at Cousins. Are you in Tinley Park? No, not to worry. You can watch our crew enjoying the ice-cold Miller Lights on Twitch.tv. The Waddle and Sylvie Show on ESPN 1000.
Someone just came up to Waddle. He said, I lived at Tinley my whole life, and I've never had their pizza here at Cousins.
Try some.
And he says, I heard Waddle rave about it. Is it legit? And you said, absolutely.
said, try some. And then he said, oh, no.
Oh,
he
really?
He's being polite. I don't think he would.
No, he could have some of
that's
ours.
That's what I said.
Yeah.
Try it.
You could always, well, we brought Twitch on the road, as we always do, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. It's more Bears conversation coming your way at 5. We're going to get you ready for your fantasy drafts, too. I know a lot of drafts are this weekend. Meller is our expert. Meller is going to give us some basic info.
He's also a predator. He's a fantasy football predator.
What does that mean?
He's a fantasy football predator.
Like, but predator has a negative connotation.
Well, then
I
put
think
it
that's
in
how Waddle means it, under,
understand that I put it into the context of fantasy football.
Waddle, he's not a predator when the prey wins. All right.
Well, that may be true, but every now and again, even the predator will go in with the plan to prey on you. Whether or not the predator succeeds doesn't mean that the predator didn't have a plan to prey on you. So I'm just telling you, he's a fantasy football predator.
Are you trying
he's
to
invited us in to take our money.
Are you playing the role of Chris Hansen here? Is that what you're trying to do here, buddy?
Who's Chris Hansen?
The one from To Catch a Predator? Is that what it was called?
No, because he got busted.
Oh, he got busted,
yes!
too.
Didn't he get busted, Meller?
I don't think so, did he?
Oh, stop it. Of course
he
did.
I think it was sort of ironic that something happened to him then. I don't know. Double check.
We're having a family.
Let's bring in Connor.
We're having a family fantasy football league, too, at the Waddle House.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Good. How many?
It's my wife and I and the four kids.
You're a six-team league, huh? There are plenty of talent to go around. All right, Connor McKnight joins us. He's brought to you by Waddle's, guys. Waddle?
That is
Hawk?
Correct.
HawkAuto.com.
Ford, Chevy, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, Subaru, Cadillac, Mazda, and VW all in one place. HawkAuto.com, where Chicagoland saves big.
Connor McKnight, how the hell are you?
Hello, boys. How are you? You know, you guys were going one way with the Predator thing. I was going, like Dutch. And car, the whole, you know, if it bleeds, we can kill it. You know, the 80s Phenom movie with the Jesse the Body Ventura and the whole thing? That's where I was leaning.
Yeah.
We're much darker on this show.
My point was,
it got real dark real fast, guys.
As it always does.
I'm a wounded animal, and Meller's like this giant, you know, hawk that swoops in.
You're soft, though. You're very soft with this. This is fantasy football you're going into.
You started a fight with Meller over not getting your $200 from him on a timely basis.
That's bro code. Pay up.
Okay, well, that's soft. It's $200. Don't get your heart broken over two
bills. It was $700 first of all.
I've seen relationships get broken up over fantasy fees not getting paid, fellas. I mean, I've seen the good times end.
Right. Connor, you got to be quick pay guy in any bet, right?
Pretty much. You know, I'm pretty much. That's pretty quick. You know, I got one fantasy baseball league right now where I am the outstanding guy who hasn't paid sort of thing. But I get away with it because I just tell him, I got a game tonight. I can't make it.
Wow. You're the play. Yeah, I'm doing play-by-play. Are you doing play-by-play all weekend?
I am. I got Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Jason Benetti has the Nebraska-Northwestern game. Len Casper has your television broadcast. Darren Jackson and myself, I have the play-by-play this weekend.
All right, so do a little fantasy baseball for us. If you had the pencil and you had your scorecard, who would you pencil in to lead off tonight for the White Sox?
Oh, if I were looking at the lineup, sure. Let me see. I assume you're taking Luis Robert off the board for me because he is not healthy and ready to go. Like, I have
because he's only got one functioning wrist. Yes,
I have
he's
to use
off the
nine
board.
That are in the lineup tonight.
Yes.
Okay. Let's see. I like A.J. Pollock out of the leadoff spot a little bit. Don't mind him being up there. Love Andrew Vaughn batting, too. Really, really like that idea.
Okay.
Jose Abreu, 3. Leo Jimenez, 4. Got no problem there. I don't really have a big issue with the lineup. I do like the top guy to be a guy that I know could get it at bat in that ninth inning with something on it if it needs to be there. That's mostly why I like the lineup one way or the other, or why I, you know, kind of go back and forth about who's batting where and whatnot. But listen, you know, this White Sox offense is looking for that next big hit. And I think after a night where you had 6 chances to advance a runner from second base in a tie ball game in extra innings, a runner that was gifted to you by Rob Manfred himself, and then you're not able to move him, you're looking for something. You're looking for something a little different. And against the lefty tonight, the rookie Tommy Henry, you know, this is a decent enough chance for Romy Gonzalez to get a little slug action going on against the Diamondbacks starter.
Was last night's loss maybe the most difficult one to absorb of the season, Connor?
Maybe. You know what? Maybe.
To choose from.
There were other candidates, you know.
To choose from.
There's been some tough ones. There's been some really tough ones. You know, Josh Naylor here at the ballpark comes to mind. You know, obviously last night was a difficult one. There have been a handful of really tough losses. I think what this White Sox team can hang its hat on is that it, I mean, in a real way, guys, it has bounced back from these tough losses, but it hasn't continued to roll. I mean, that's where this team sits right now. It is a team where their biggest winning streak is 6-5 games, you know, twice at points during the season. We know about the losing streak that they had. It's been able to bounce back from just about everything that it has been dealt, but it's not yet been able to get on a roll. I was doing some quick math during the postgame show last night. The Sox essentially need to win 2 out of every 3 ball games from here on out in order to catch the Guardians if the Guardians continue to play at the pace they're on. That would get the Sox to 88 wins. That would get the Guardians to about 87. And as you guys know, 88, one more than 87, and that would count. But, you know, that's a bit. You know, you're asking for the Sox team to play its absolute best baseball down the final 37 games of the year.
Connor, I started the show by saying almost what you were saying regarding last night, that if last night isn't definitively your worst loss of the year, where you have to say maybe, then you know you've had a pretty crappy season.
It's been tough. I think the points where the struggle has hit so clearly have, you know, outshone isn't the way to do it, right? Because nobody likes to shine in a loss or anything like that. But they have been louder than the bright moments for this team at this point. I think some of that is because of a lack of power, right? We don't have big home runs to point to, big home run totals to point to. There are some walk-off wins. There are some big hits in and around this lineup. But for the most part, this has been a team that's kept itself afloat by pitching pretty well throughout. And, you know, I've said this for a while. In my personal, I don't know how you guys feel about this, but one of the toughest things to watch in a baseball season is wasting good starting pitching performances. And it kind of, you know, with Dylan Cease making a push for AL Cy Young, sure, he's the second favorite, but he's still a second favorite for the AL Cy Young after the last two seasons that he's had. That's pretty impressive. There have been a lot of good pitching performances for this team to just kind of, you know, hang in there on. And that can be almost inherently frustrating as a ball club. You know, you compile that with, or you put that on top of the expectation that was placed on this offense coming off of last season, and it just, they have just been a team that sat there in second gear and yet to switch to third or fourth or, God forbid, fifth and get in the left-hand lane and blow past the Guardians or the Twins.
Connor, have you talked to La Russa yet, or is that later where you and DJ talk to him?
They open the clubhouse at 4, so DJ's on the field right now, actually getting caught up with Dalton Varsho, who is in the lineup for the Diamondbacks. He played with his dad back in the day, and getting caught up with Alec Thomas, who is the son of Alan Thomas, former strength and conditioning coordinator here with the White Sox. Alec is a big-time rookie for the Diamondbacks. He's going to be out here on the field today, so DJ's down there getting caught up. I'll join him after.
Do we know, so you probably don't have the info then, do we know at all about Robert and Moncada and some of the newer injuries and how long they could miss?
Yeah, so I have, at this point in our broadcast day, I have what you guys have on that. I think the pregame with Tony should be soon. I'm looking down at White Sox beat reporters. They're getting set and ready to roll, so I would imagine that's coming up in just a little bit.
Gotcha.
I would say if you could ask for somebody to take the ball, and Dylan Cease has been fabulous, but to take the ball the day after something like yesterday happened, Johnny Cueto would be my guy, and he gets the ball tonight, Connor.
No doubt. I mean, you ask that next guy to be stopper, right? Yeah. And I think when you've got a White Sox pitching staff the way they do, where everybody has at the very least in their history the ability of having played stopper, you know, even with Lucas Giolito the way he pitched last night, you put that on that performance to today and you go, well, that's a pretty good chance to win a ball game. Cueto's that guy though, because he's going to get around this lineup, this Diamondbacks lineup, any way he can. I think it's been so fun to watch him pitch. I think it has been incredible to watch him throw everything he has to any one of the four quadrants of the strike zone and be effective with it. He is a dinosaur. And he is live and active and dangerous in this year's version of Major League Baseball. And it has been a blast. But, yeah, I mean, you talk about You talk about the Stones to go out there and do this too. Johnny Cueto's the guy to go do that job as well as give you length and innings and kind of a respite for the bullpen, which worked a little bit over the last week.
You're really good with movies and shows. We have what to watch for next. You have a tip for us? You have anything that you're watching for as far as away from sports?
Sure. Have you guys gotten into Sandman on Netflix?
No.
Okay.
Don't know about
All right. So it's weird. It's comic booky. It's kind of sci-fi fantasy sort of thing. Started Sandman. Had to put it away just because of, you know, the wife is pregnant. So sometimes we watch shows and sometimes we don't make it to the end of shows. I work nights, the whole thing. Really into Sandman of late. It's complicated and weird and messed up, but it is very bingeable because you're never really quite sure where it's going. Highly recommend.
I like it. That's good.
I'm in.
All right, Connor. Have a great weekend. We'll be listening to you, all right?
Thanks, Connor.
See you, fellas. Thank you.
We'll be listening to him on the way home. Connor McKnight's got your play-by-play and everything this weekend. Tyler, you got any of the pregames this weekend?
I will be doing pregame and White Sox Weekly tomorrow.
Very good.
Nice.
And who Sunday? Is Jesse on,
Sunday,
is Jesse
I'm not
on the docket
sure.
at all?
Usually Dion will take over on some Sundays, but I don't know if she's traveling out to the Bears game this weekend, too.
That's right, in Cleveland. Mm-hmm. All right, let's get to what to watch for coming up next. At 5, I want to do Find the Great and things that we want to see great from the Bears this weekend. If you have anything you want to talk to us about, whether it's the Aaron Donald swinging of the helmet, whether it's the White Sox, the maddening White Sox, or what you want to see from the Bears, 312-332-3776. We're having a blast in Tinley Park. We're cousins. Still time for you to get over here. It's all brought to you by Miller Lite.
Hey, Mom always said have a heart, and now Great Clips is making that easy. Visit any Great Clips location in Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana and support the 14th annual Have a Heart campaign for the local Ronald McDonald Houses. With a donation of $2 or more, receive $2 off your next haircut. Show your heart by giving families the gift of comfort and care that the 5 local Ronald McDonald Houses offer to families in need. Great Clips has provided enough funding to keep over 11,000 families together for the night, a savings of over $6 million in housing and food costs when it's needed most. Please donate today. Check in online via the Great Clips app or from the web. Check the wait time, get your name on the list, and get a Ready Next text when your wait is under 15 minutes. Head to the salon and get right in. And make Mom proud. Have a heart. On now through September 2nd. Great Clips. It's going to be great. All salons independently owned and operated. Contact your local salon for specific safety measures.
ESPN Chicago presents the Waddle and Sylvie Show live from Cousins in Tinley Park. Crack one open, cuz. It's Miller time.
On Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
Waddle and Sylvie get you set for your weekend viewing with What to Watch For.
We'll have Free Ticket Friday coming up here shortly. We'll spin around the room, though. This is one of my favorite segments of the week. We talk TV all the time.
We do.
Too.
By the way, first of all, the food here is just spectacular.
The owner brought us a pizza earlier, double cheeseburger earlier. Now he brought me 2 hard-boiled eggs since I was eating eggs.
Yeah.
With some boneless wings. They got some pretzel bites. And our favorite probably is the candied bacon. You bring us some bacon, you win our hearts right there.
Hobos on a ham sandwich.
We're drinking ice cold Miller Lite at Cousins in Tinley Park. Very festive crowd. Mo from Frankfurt just popped in,
he
too.
He did, yes.
He called the morning show today.
Did he get yelled at?
I think so, yeah.
I think I saw his tweet.
He said no, they didn't tonight.
Oh, no?
He didn't think so, but I think they did.
Okay.
All right, let's spin around the room. What do you watch?
I have a real quick, I have a funny story. Remember, Meller, yesterday you were telling me, because I kept saying to you, I don't have anything else to watch because I've binged everything.
Did you try that, too?
Okay.
Me, too.
Okay, wait a second.
I stopped it after a half hour.
I did as well. But last night at like 9:45, my eyes are getting heavy. I'm thinking to myself, I'm going to rent the Top Gun movie and watch it. My wife's out of town. It's just me and the dog. She's snoring. I'm about to snore. I'm like, I'm not going to rent it now because I'm not going to be able to stay up and watch it. So I remember Meller said something about a show called Rehearsal. So I went to my Xfinity voice remote, and I go, play Rehearsal. comes up. It's like an hour and 10 minute movie, and I'm watching it. It's about a guy who buy an English guy who buys a theater and an action hero from the United States to come over and basically saves their bacon, so to speak. And I'm like, this can't be what Meller was suggesting that I watch. And I watched it all the way through. So I told you this was the most me thing of all time.
Oh, my gosh.
So at the end of it, I go, there's no chance. It was too late. I wasn't going to text Meller.
And it was a movie?
It was a movie.
And an hour and 10 minute movie?
Hour and 10 minute movie. And so then I said, this can't be it. So I went back to my voice remote, and I said, play the rehearsal. And then it comes up. And then it was this series. I couldn't last more than 20 minutes with it because it was so weird.
Half hour for me, Meller. Half hour for me.
So I just wanted to say the total me move of all time. I tried to take Meller's advice and watched something all the way through and found out it wasn't what he actually suggested.
Did you pay for it? Did you pay for it?
No, okay. It was free. It was on Tubi.
Only Waddle would watch.
Yes.
Without texting somebody.
Yeah. No, right?
He the whole way through.
The whole movie.
Oh.
So anyway, I'm done. Again, I don't have anything to watch, so.
Meller, I watched the first half hour of the rehearsal, then I started Googling it to read about it.
Oh, well, you just ruined it, dude, I think.
And then I'm like, I typed, is the rehearsal real? And then sure enough, there was an article that was published 2 days ago. Is the rehearsal real? Click on it. And then, like, the first paragraph, the lead is, if you're asking the question, is the rehearsal real? You're missing the point.
Oh, see,
or something like that. And I'm like, stick your rehearsal
I'm with
you.
You know, same way. I bailed on it because it's like, okay, maybe you're smarter than me. I don't give a flying F. I don't care. I'm not entertained.
Yeah.
And I went.
Yeah.
So really, all I have to watch for now, other than the Top Gun movie, which I eventually will watch, it's Bears in Cleveland. Bears and Browns, and obviously I know it's low-hanging fruit, but there was a time when the last preseason game was something that you would never, ever put your eyes on. But because our starters are going to play the first half of this game, it's the highlight of the weekend with regard to television viewing.
I am going to – this could be a – I forget if this is what I used last week. If it is, I'm going to reiterate it because now I have watched it. I loved the Manti Te'o documentary. I loved it. And the second episode, it's only two episodes, and it's really good, and you learn a lot. If you think you know the story, they interview the Deadspin guys, too, who broke the story. That's the other component, is the race to break this story with other people. And the end of it was awesome. Manti Te'o's went on a five-minute kind of monologue at the end where he just spoke from the heart. Where it wasn't rehearsed.
Which was probably what you were waiting for.
Well, and it was what you were waiting for when it happened in real time, too.
Uh-huh.
Like, he you know, played it by the script. He went on Katie Couric, which I forgot. He got treated so poorly, too.
Yeah.
And he talks about the hell he went through and the anxiety. You got to watch it. If you live through it and you remember the story, you may not know all of it, and you're going to love it. Well, it's on Netflix. Two episodes. You knock it out in one sitting.
Not like the rehearsal.
No. Meller, what are you watching for?
So you know what's crazy is yesterday I watched the first episode of the Manti Te'o documentary. And then after it,
I Googled it.
The Manti Te'o story real? And then the article that came up said, if you're asking, is Manti Te'o real, you're missing the point.
Yeah.
I hated that story so much.
That was coming.
The Manti Te'o story drives me crazy.
Why?
I hated it. I hated it when we were living through
it. But it was real, and it was in the spotlight.
I know. It was in the spotlight, and it being in the spotlight is what I despise about the current culture that we live in. And so I hated the story when it was happening. And when I saw the trailer for the series, I got triggered again and very upset. So
you may like it. You know who I liked too in it was Jack Swarbrick, who's the AD, because he was pretty honest about how things were going and the sort of the, what's the term I'm looking for, like the way they were going through the PR stuff behind the scenes and how they should attack it or not attack it.
Crisis counseling. They were
crisis management.
Yes, trying to deal with it.
Yes.
I'm going to have to, like, I need to really calm down before I can actually hit play on that. But I will say, listen, the rehearsal, for those who are curious, I think you do need to be, like, awake and alert if you want to watch this. And here's the thing. I'm not promising anyone out there that they're going to love it, but I will say after watching it, it's really hard not to stop thinking about it. And I think at the very least, it's different than anything you've probably watched.
There's some weird people in it.
Absolutely.
I would say, if you think there's weird people in the first one, wait till the second, third, fourth.
Why'd you stick with it? Yes, so why'd you stick with it? Why'd you guys stick with it?
Because it was just kind of intense after the first. Yeah.
After the first episode, you can walk away, but you realize you can't stop thinking about it. And so I think it compels you to watch the second. And then when you watch the second episode, you're like, all right, I got to see where this goes.
Okay.
Wow.
Man.
I think I lasted 20 minutes. At that point, I was a little bit discombobulated because of the experience I put myself through. But I did not find it entertaining. I did.
What was it about an English person? What?
It was a guy. It was a guy who I forget the actor, but he's a fairly well-known guy. He is. They do plays in this old theater, and they were having money problems. So to save themselves financially, they got a U.S. action hero guy to come in, and then it became a love story. And I watched it all the way through.
And he doesn't have time for fantasy football.
Yeah.
If I could do fantasy football laying in bed, about to go to sleep,
you can. All right, what are you guys watching for?
So there's this new show called Welcome to Wrexham on FX.
Welcome to Wrexham.
Rex what?
Wrexham. It's basically like a Hard Knocks
Welcome
version of soccer, but it's about Ryan Reynolds and Rob McElhenney.
They bought a soccer team.
Oh. Yeah.
And so it's kind of like a Hard Knocks version of how they went through buying the team. It was
Wrexham, I don't even know them.
Yeah. Mallory, did you give us one other than the Manti Te'o making fun of?
Well, no, I wanted to defend the idea of the rehearsal and why I think people should go give it a second
He wanted
chance.
To reiterate the rehearsal That's is fine. His what to
Listen,
watch
Listen, I never said go watch a movie called
no,
The
did.
Rehearsal for an hour
you
and 10
did not.
Minutes before you watch
Listen,
the
I'm
rehearsal.
Not blaming you. I advertise it as the most me thing you'll ever hear.
All right, ring it up right now. Caller 7 wins courtesy of Miller Lite. We've got White Sox tickets against the Rockies. 312-332-3776. We'll do it now. We'll do it in an hour from now. Your last chance to win. We are live at Cousins in Tinley Park. This is also brought to you by Miller Lite. What great do we want to see from the Bears tomorrow? We'll get to that next.